Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. If this is your first time listening to this show, put your seatbelt on, strap down into the chair, and really pay attention. For those of you who listen regularly, I have an advanced show for you. Today we're going to talk about the liver. Even in what we'll call low information voter nutrition, the kind of stuff that places cheap ads on the radio, so on and so forth, even in your lowest common denominator of take care of your health, you'll hear about flushing the liver. And a lot of times this will have to do with herbal combinations. Those of you who are a little more sophisticated know all about the olive oil flushes. Those of you who are a little more sophisticated than that will trust in the infamous, notorious coffee enema. Although that's about the edge today, right? Tell your friend you do coffee enemas for your liver and your health. Listen to ads or listen to literature stating that to get rid of cancer, you'll have a consistent strategy using coffee enemas. Most people will think you are out of your mind. Today's show is to take you many steps further than that. But if I take you many steps further than that, which I'm going to today, meaning in your relationship with what you call a healthy liver, flushing the liver, taking care of the liver, whether you're into doing herbal cleanses, coffee enemas, or olive oil flushes, in the next 60 minutes, I'm going to give you a perspective way beyond that. Only at the end of the show, you're going to slide right back into the heart of science. And of course, that's the theme of the show. That if you really get into the science, you see the full, flagrant, wonderful justification for all these health practices, without which many people are left stranded. You know, some of you guys are lucky, you know how to go with your gut. You use your intuitive faculties to bring you to a sense of should you participate in a flush and so on and so forth when your family thinks you're crazy and your doctor tells you this is nonsense and it's all charlatanism and ripoffs and the rest of it. Those of you who understand how to pursue your life's choices intuitively, well, you kind of got that worked out. But many people aren't like that. Many people are not like that. I'm not like that. Myself, personally, I'll use my intuitive faculties, but I need the backup. I've always been like that. I have to see it and confirm it from both sides. The oddity, ironically, and this is my point to you, ironically, if you really get into the science, if you love the science, you're going to end up right smack in the middle of holistic medicine. So those of you who experience in your social realm, meaning your family, I hear these stories all the time. It's Christmas time and you're eating a certain way and you're talking about your cleanses or you make the mistake of mentioning something and all of a sudden there's a family debate as to the authenticity or the absolute ignorance and scam of alternative medicine. Lots of you know what I'm talking about. Well, let me tell you something. Study the science. So today's show, your healthy liver, much more than oil flushes. First of all, if you can get to the website, I have pictures that will make your job much easier today. StraightTalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. Those of you driving, just flow. Just listen. 500 to 1,300 functions of the liver. First point, if on the low end the liver does 500 things, if on the high end Arthur Guyton, one of the icons of medical physiology, says the liver does 1,300 things, either way, the liver does lots of things. It is the main factory of the body. If your body's making it, rest assured the liver's involved in it. So it is, no matter which way you cut it, the major producer of goods for what your body utilizes to build tissue, to regenerate tired cells. Done. Right there, you have to wonder whether a coffee enema and an olive oil flush 3 or 4 times a year is really going to optimize liver function. And that's my point. It won't, and it doesn't. If on the cutting edge of your perspective, there's so much more to appreciate about the liver, and there's perspectives to take into yourself that will put the olive oil flushes, the coffee enemas, the herbs you take in proper perspective relative to what really, in a bigger sense, means rebuilding and regenerating your liver. One thing about the liver, real important to understand. The liver can regrow itself. Now that's big. You've heard me say this before. That is a really, really big, big deal. We haven't been graced so well with many of our other organs. The brain doesn't regrow itself too easily. Neither does the heart, neither do the kidneys. Now, yeah, we know they have stem cells, all your organs, or at least most of them, definitely heart, definitely kidney, have stem cells within the organ itself. We know that stem cells come from the bone marrow. The brain, if it's functioning correctly, and that's debatable, person to person, that's debatable. Your hypothalamic intelligence will pull stem cells from your bone marrow to the target organs with an efficiency I don't ever think we're going to fully comprehend. But we know that happens. So whether stem cells in the organ itself, birthed in the organ itself, or where the stem cells are coming from the bone marrow, organs do regenerate. However, nothing matches the liver. Give you an example. And I think I gave this example a few weeks ago. But just listen to this. A young lady that I actually know donated her liver to her brother, who was dying of something called Gilbert's disease, which is a problem where the liver doesn't know how to metabolize copper. Over the years, copper builds up in the liver. Wilson's disease, yeah. And this copper, which normally you can excrete, doesn't. The liver, it builds up and it destroys the liver. The liver becomes too copper toxic. It fibrosis. That's the end of your life. So this young lady's brother is going to die of it. And this was no surprise. Everyone knew he had it. It was just a matter of time. And she donates 75%. I mean, get this. 75% of her liver she gives to her brother. Wonderful act of Christian faith. But the doctors tell her, don't worry. The doctors tell her, you're in your 20s. This is no risk. Because, get this, and here's my point, your liver will grow back in a year or two. Wow. Believe me, you cannot do that with your brain. You can't do that with your heart. You can't do that with your kidney. You can give one kidney, but you can't cut your kidney in half, give it to your brother, and expect it to grow back in a year or two. The liver is dynamic. For your own edification, the cervix does that. The cervix will grow back. Of course, we know the skin regrows. Bones regrow. Organs have different abilities to repair. Salamanders grow tails. Unfortunately, humans, if we cut limbs off, they don't grow back. So the body has regenerative capacities built into the DNA at varying levels, organ to organ. But if we're talking liver, we're talking about the central powerhouse in terms of the number of functions, the number of chemical reactions per unit time occurring. Probably nothing surpasses the liver. And guess what? If you cut out 75% of it, it will grow back. That means if we really wanted to idealize medicine, if you really want to talk health, if you're 80, you want to have the function of a 20-year-old as it relates to your liver. And it's for lack of understanding what I'm saying that you don't. Our blood tests for the liver, AST, SGOT, SGPT, all these GTP, all these little markers we call blood tests that you get every year for the liver, they don't tell you squat. They tell you you don't have a disease and you're not going to die. That's what they tell you. But they don't tell you the difference between feeling vibrant at 60 years old and feeling like you're 90 when you're 60, or feeling like you're 60 when you're 20. And if we focused on that, well, then when we were 70 and 80, we would feel 60 and 50 and 40. In other words, the biological age of the organ really determines your experience of health. And we say that, but how many people I know at the 60 or 50-year-old wall that are really, really fretting? The minute we see ourselves change, we're old. That's it. We're not abused. We're not unmaintained. We're old. We go right to that. It's where the devil is. If you're 60 or 70 years old and you feel lousy, I mean, you're barely functional, and you can remember a day, maybe a decade or two ago, where that wasn't the case, it's not that you're old, it's that you're unmaintained. So first and foremost, your liver, if it's unmaintained, deteriorates on many, many levels. Now, what are the implications of that? And what are we going to do about that? And why should we even bother about that? Because that's the difference between being vibrant, between being 60 and feeling 20, and being 20 and feeling 60. Now, those of you who can, go to picture 4. Oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, hydration, dehalogenation, sulfation, glucuronidation, glutathione, conjugation, acetylation, methylation, amino acid, conjugation, just for openers. Transamination, glycolysis, gluconeogenesis, genesis, your fatty acid metabolisms, your amino acid metabolisms. You can go on and on. What it means to balance hormone is the liver. Ladies, you're always screaming, it's my hormones. My hormones aren't balanced because you heard some nonsense on some ad. And yeah, we love to give you those creams, those beauty creams, to balance your hormones because you're 50 and it's not happening anymore. And you're all happy to take them because they're going to perform the miracles. And then the anti-aging guys, their federations are always there to tell you, do these expensive hormonal panels and we'll give you these expensive creams. And you just put them on your body and it's amazing. That and a few stem cell therapies and you're 70 going on 20 once again. This is nonsense. It isn't happening. It's a joke. And where it works, it's because people are so absolutely deficient, depraved, denied, unmaintained, by the time they're 70 years old, anything will help. If you're really abused, if you've really abused your health, and most people have, doing anything helps. And to put that from home plate to first base to second base phase on the back of these expensive hormonal creams that balance it all out and make you young and perky again is bunko. But against that, you have that mighty liver. And if it's functioning optimally, it, in relationship to the hypothalamus in your brain, will constantly scan the blood, react to what's in the blood. If there's too much cortisol, if there's too little cortisol, if there's too much estrogen, too little estrogen, too much testosterone, too little testosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone, so on and so forth. The whole myriad of dozens of hormones and their metabolites circulating through the blood will be cut down, conjugated, cut down, resynthesized, largely in the liver. And if the liver's doing its job, the glands have an easy go about it. So I could even add to the list gluconeogenesis, glycogen metabolism, glycolysis, fatty acid metabolism, all those other functions that we mentioned earlier, from oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis, hydration, sulfation, glucuronidation, glutathione conjugation, acetylation, so on and so forth. Yes, lots of your cells do these. Your regular cells do these things too, but the liver is doing it at another level. So we're just going to flush the bile ducts and then go to the bank. So we're going to do a coffee enema and an olive oil flush and call it a day, because now we've taken care of our liver. Done deal. Goodbye. Wrong. Now, if you can get this straight, the implications of this are dynamic and they're massive, because what you do, unfortunately, and it's human nature to do it, so let's not knock it, but it's wrong. It's not complete. What you do consistently is you take a piece of paper, you put your symptom down, back pain, your eyes twitch, you get headaches, you don't feel good, you don't have energy. You've got some ensuing disease mechanism, slow but sure, going on in your body. And the first thing you do is a Google search. That's what everybody does. You've got a low-grade heart condition. Get on the internet and look for solutions. You got something wrong with your liver itself. It's in a low-grade fibrosis. It says a moderate-stage fibrosis. You've got hepatitis C. And what people do is they get on the internet and they look at the solutions for that problem. And usually that means cleanses. It may mean certain herbs. It may mean certain focal therapies. And although they have a role, you're missing the boat if that's the way you approach your health. If you're symptom-oriented, if your version of health, I'm talking alternative medicine, I'm not talking about the MDs, the allopaths, Kaiser Permanente. No, I'm talking about if your version of alternative medicine is, I've got the problem, I did my internet scans, it told me to do this, this, and this for this problem, and that includes herbals, cleanses, so on and so forth, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm covered. This is really very short-sighted. Solutions to health problems are not the product of focal remedies. Solutions to health problems are not the product of focal remedies. Don't fix the symptom. Don't fix the disease. Get healthy. Don't fix the symptom. Don't fix the disease. Take care of the health of the collective you. Yeah, I know that makes sense. I know you're nodding your head. I know you understand. You don't. That's why I'm doing the show with this perspective today. I'm going to jack the show off the back of the liver. Because the liver is a great example of, if this thing does, if this organ does at least 500 and has at least 500 different functions, why don't we simply potentiate that with what the kidney does and what the brain does and what the heart does? Why don't we take the sum total of all the physiological functions of all the physiological systems in the entire body? Why don't we think about improving them most fundamentally rather than skipping all of that and going straight to the focal remedy? You get my point. If you really understand what the liver does, the hundreds of things the liver carries out, you can't get through biochemistry, you can't get through physiology, you can't get through any part of science without running smack into the liver every single time. There isn't any part of a disease that you're going to fail to see liver function become part of. I'm exaggerating a little, but the point is you're always going to bump into the liver. On that basis, what are we looking at resolve to our eye problems or our kidney problems or our cardiac issues without looking at it like if you're going to fix the body, go to where the action is. Fix the organs to address the symptom. Don't skip that and just do internet searches to fix the symptom. All right, let's continue with the liver. Let's elaborate on this point. First of all, we want to talk about the hepatocyte. The liver is made of millions of liver cells called hepatocytes. And like every single cell in the body, there is an inflammatory process ensuing that we just call aging. Don't think of it as disease. Your cells look brand new, spiffy, clean, and polished, like a brand new car right out of the best dealership. And by the time you're 40, you look like a used car. Those cells look like a used car, but you're still running. By the time you're 60, you've broken down and a number of parts may be missing or may in fact just be damaged. By the time you're 80, like that old car, just about the time you need a new one, is you. Because at 80, you have no more than 15, 20 years at most. All right. Don't think about disease. Every single year, every single decade, you can go in to that liver and look at the condition of the cells. And if you're just measuring the damage to the cell on the basis of inflammatory processes, how much paint is chipped off the paint of the car, how many dents are in the body, how many windows are cracked. If you just look at the liver cell like that, every 10 years, the changes in those cells are the product of the sum total of inflammatory damage that the liver's accrued, that the liver cells have accrued over a period of decades. Disease aside, symptom aside, don't even think about any of it. Just think about health and what it would take to determine the fibrosis or the amount of scar tissue built into the liver from the ravages of chronic inflammation, how we could measure it, and then what we could do about it. You have a symptom, you have a disease, you have something stubborn, you've done your Google searches, you've gone to your nutritionist, you've gone to your acupuncturist, your chiropractors, you've tried the MDs, and you've got something going on in your body, in your liver, that isn't responding. The benefit of turning back the inflammatory, fibrotic stage of one organ is worth everything. Because the liver does between 500 and 1300 things. I'm talking about the way you look at your symptoms, the way you look at your health. And I'm talking about the way you measure it. And what I'm saying is the degree of inflammatory damage or fibrosis the liver suffers from equates to the health of the liver. But that's us. It's you, it's me, it's everyone, meaning people scar up. The downside to free radical damage, oxidative damage, systemic in the body over time has a consequence. That consequence is the formation of scar tissue in the form of fibrin deposition. Yeah, you've heard me say this before. And the way you can look at health is, what's the degree of fibrosis decade to decade in a given organ? Don't think about your pain syndrome. Don't think about your disease. Don't think about the prognosis of that disease. Think about the things you have to do to reduce fibrosis. That's where you put your focus. If people understood that, they wouldn't walk into doctor's offices and say, I have back pain. What are we going to do about it? If people understood what I'm saying, they wouldn't walk into doctor's offices and say, I've got issues cardiac in the heart. What are we going to do about it? I'm neurodegenerating in the brain. What can we do for my brain, doctor? If people understood what I'm talking about, they wouldn't think that way. They'd walk in and say, how do I reduce and measure reduction in inflammatory processes throughout the body? And if I were you, even if it was in your kidney or your brain or your heart, I'd start with the liver. Now you're starting to breathe freely and understand my point. I can feel that. So, here's a test they should be running. Here's a test they should be running. Because here's a concern they should be having. If you go to picture 16, you're going to see something that's no news to any hepatologist, people who really understand the liver. It's picture 16 on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Comparative scoring systems for histological staging of fibrosis of the liver. Score 0, no fibrosis. That's you at 20. No, it's you at 15. You at 30 is stage 1, mild fibrosis. You at 50 or 60 is stage 2, moderate fibrosis. That's where most people are going to stop. Those of you who've had hep C, those of you who've drugged up, those of you who have simply just not inherited a healthy liver, those of you who've been around gross toxicological environments, you may be at score 3, severe fibrosis. Stage 4 is cirrhosis. All the time you get people running in to the office complaining about, you know, they told me I'll have a cirrhotic liver because I have hep C and I'm at stage 1 or stage 2, but I'm going to be at stage 4 over 10 to 20 years. You hear this all the time. Those are speculations, not necessarily physical realities. But here's my point to you who may be healthy, who are not symptomatic, who may have symptoms you can live with, but you don't want it. You want to get rid of them. When you're talking liver, and you should be, because the liver relates to everything, we already have staging systems out there to determine the degree of fibrosis within them. You have to have that awareness because, okay, go to picture 30. A cost of a fibro scan. We have scans that we can do on the liver that are cost effective. Yes, and your insurance is not going to cover these things. Insurance doesn't even cover gross Medicare anymore. If you need outside the box representation, you're not going to get it from the way medicine is, at least presently in America. If you're in one of these restricted healthcare systems, you're going to get gross medical care. I wouldn't get cataract surgery under most of the plans I see people. I see people try to maintain their health with. Even basic stuff is questionable. If you need an out-of-the-box therapy, if you need something to guarantee yourself or to give yourself a higher probability of radiant health into your 80s and 90s, your insurance isn't going to pay for these tests. But they're out there. There's articles on them. They're applauded for their excellence and precision. And one of them is called a FibroScan. Here in this picture, 30, they're comparing the cost of a FibroScan versus a liver biopsy. You can't really do a liver biopsy. The liver's too big. You go in there and you do a liver biopsy, you got to take a lot of pieces of the liver to get an understanding of what's going on with that liver. And yes, fibrosis in the liver can be sectionalized. Anytime you get a biopsy, the issue is, did they get the tissue they were supposed to get? And you'll get people having biopsies and there'll be three samples. And somebody else will say, well, you should have had eight samples. And this is the whole issue with the biopsy. We're always a little leery to poke too many holes in an organ to get the full reality of the organ. We're always a little leery. But in the early stages, you might have to. Look, if you're really on the borderline with a cirrhosis or a renal failure or cardiac failure or issues up in the brain, so on and so forth, but really liver, kidney, pancreas, bone marrow, so on and so forth. If you're in real strong symptomatic phases, you already know, doctors already know you're in trouble. Maybe you can get by with a minimization of the number of biopsy samples because they're going to come out real bad and you can just infer something's going on and it's bad. This isn't what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about the reality that your liver, like the rest of your body, is breaking down over the decades, and that the way you look at your health is about the time, energy, and money, and diagnostic money you put into determining in that arc of age 20 to age 80 where the fibrotic levels are in the liver and in your other organs. And the word biopsy doesn't come into play here because you're not sick. You're headed for it. But you're not sick. And my point to you is we have scans out there. One of them is called the FibroScan. And the FibroScan can be used to determine the stiffness of the liver. We have tests now. If you look at picture 29, the validity of what they call elastography versus liver biopsy, elastography. That means they're using sonar and different types of scans to determine the degree of stiffness or pliability of the organ. Think about that. They're basically saying, we're going to close our eyes and just take your liver out and we're going to press into it. And based on its elasticity versus stiffness, we're going to tell you what stage of fibrosis it's in. Do you know, metaphorically, you can do that with every organ? That's huge. It's huge for you to understand that we already have tests to determine the degree of elasticity in that organ. Don't think about your back pain. Don't think about your heart, your neurodegeneration in your brain, your IBS, your cancer. Don't think about any of it. Think about the elasticity of your organs. In the science are proofs, and in the science are diagnostic therapies, machines already designed to tell you what the health of the organ is in far more subtle ways than you can imagine. And this is a classic example. Elasticity in scar tissue. Now, the rate at which the liver becomes scarred is always related to the rate at which it can excrete the poisons that it has to transaminate, denature, conjugate, and send into the toilet. In other words, the rate at which the liver can move its poison through is proportional to the rate at which it will scar up. an organ, an excretory organ, a kidney, a liver, any organ has to move its poisons through. And if its methods of excretion, the liver meaning the biliary system, if the way the liver excretes falls far below the rate at which the liver concentrates its poisons, well, then the poisons will start to damage the organ. And that's the beginning of the inflammatory process and the fibrosis. If that's the case, now you know why you're flushing your biliary system. You're moving that bile through. You're decongesting those bile ducts to the point where the liver will never fry in its own poisons. All the pesticides, all the different types of chemicals, all the xenoestrogens, all the infectious material, just all the exudate of normal, regular, everyday human metabolism going to the liver in normal physiology, needing to be flushed through the liver and into the toilet. As long as you keep those bile ducts open, you will fight the inflammation of the liver. That's why you're doing the flushes. Now, let me ask you a question. If you can really respect all these chemical processes in the liver that I put on, say, picture 4, phase 1 and phase 2, if you can really respect that, meaning if your liver not only functions around the rate at which you can move the garbage through it, through the biliary system, the olive oil flushes, but also the rate at which it performs all those chemical functions. Well, the question becomes, what's involved in determining the speed, the rate, the efficiency at which the liver performs all those chemical reactions? That's a whole other part of liver function. So, you have to understand something about the anatomy of the liver to really understand how to upgrade liver function, not just by draining it, but by enhancing the rate at which it performs all those chemical tasks. To do that, you have to get the anatomy of the liver down. I put something on picture 13, if you can get to it. The liver, which is a massive organ in the upper right quadrant, is divided into millions of what we call lobules. Lobules. Little tiny sections. And running through those sections of the liver is black blood. I'm going to call it black blood. Because running through the liver are the drainage ports to the blood supply, the venous system of the liver. The liver, in fact, if you can get to picture number 13, it would be wonderful. But the point is when you think of your liver, you have to think of an organ that has so many biochemical mechanisms occurring in any given time that you must send fresh blood in, and you must make sure that the blood that you send in is draining at the appropriate rate. The rate at which the liver drains its blood determines so much of the efficiency of those hundreds and hundreds of chemical processes. We're not talking about the biliary system now. We're talking about the rate at which the liver drains its blood. Other systems of medicine understood this. They said that if someone's failing, they're having blood stasis in the liver. They'd look at the tongue to see if the tongue was dark, dark purplish, if the veins under the tongue were bluish, dark purple, distended. Point being that the liver, with so many requirements, functioning in so many hundreds of ways, has to perfuse. It must perfuse with a great degree of efficiency. meaning you better get the blood there and you better get the blood out. And if you don't get the blood out through the venous system, the lobule will become stagnant and the blood will darken. And this is literally how in the past people have seen liver function. As someone who's bilious, check this out. Hundreds of years ago, before we had so much science, and when we had nonetheless a very skillful medicine, we would talk about an individual who was bilious, meaning the bile failed to flow, the bile so congested that the smell of the congested bile would come out the mouth. We would also say a person has a bilious personality, meaning they were so externally or internally rageful that the bile ducts would constrict, the bile wouldn't flow, and literally it would back up out your breath. You'd reflux biliary gas out through your esophagus. We also had a concept of black blood. Black blood. It meant the blood was very dark because the venous stasis in the liver was massive. Now, just on the basis of moving the blood through the liver and draining the bile, you have greatly reduced the inflammatory process behind liver function. And then we have to understand that the venous system of the liver, the veins, the biliary veins of the liver, the hepatic arteries, the veins of the liver, the literal drainage system through the liver, meaning the blood drainage, are all tubular. We have the liver is a mass of tubes. The lobule, if you look at the lobule, if you're looking at picture 13, if not, the liver is a bunch of tubes. The bile tubes, the arterial tubes, the lymphatic tubes, and the venous tubes. Tubes are not static. Tubes are not straws. Tubes are elastic, hollow passageways that can vasodilate or vasoconstrict based upon the autonomic nerves. The minute you want to congest blood flow through the liver, live with anxiety. The minute the autonomic nerves go sympathetic dominant, meaning you live in an anxious state, you constrict the flow of blood into and out of the liver. Liver blood stasis is off the back of autonomic imbalance. Your boss, the type A, the one that's always screaming and yelling, or your neighbor, the one that has a grudge with you for 20 years but's never told you, passive-aggressive personalities or externally violent ones, whether the turbulence is external or internal, you jaw clenchers, those of you who clench at night, rest assured, you're constricting the lobules of the liver, the arterial system, the biliary system as you clench. They're the same thing. So listen to how I'm laying down your health concern that doesn't even have anything to do with the liver. And if I'm talking about the liver, consider the construct around health of the liver and compare that to a few liver herbs and a few coffee enemas. It's fuller, it's deeper, it's more comprehensive. And if you really take it to its highest level, what I'm saying is, don't listen to your symptom. That's counterintuitive. Your foot hurts. You have gout attacks. It's not so much, what do I do for my memory? What do I do for my heart? What do I do for my bowels? What do I do for my digestion? What do I do for my skin wrinkles? It's how do I measure over time the improvement in liver function in a way that hard science can back, utilizing tests and things that really, I guarantee you, as you invest your time into this are not mainstream. There are many, many types of medicines running around. And one of them is to use science most dynamically in ways that you, the public, are not generally exposed to because it doesn't fit the model. Nutrition is what herb do I take? The allopaths, the MDs are doing their own thing with pharmaceuticals and surgeries. And what we're missing are concepts like these. Your physical exams every year, the ones you do and trust in, ought to be assaying biliary flow. They ought to be assaying the fibrosis of the organ. You ought to be scanned. I'm not talking about radiated. I'm talking about scanned with sound waves, et cetera, et cetera. Even there are blood markers to determine just what the degree of elasticity is in the organ and how it's changing over the decades. There's so much. There's a whole other world of this. And it's rooted in science, and you're not getting it. What you're getting is which herb do I take for the symptom and which drug do I take for the symptom. And unfortunately, now how do I manage my disease? That's what you're getting. You deserve better than that. Those of you new to the show, driving, get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. That's with two T's. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I'm giving you the inside track on holistic health. This is really where it's at. It just means you have to wrap your head around it. You got to have the kind of enthusiasm that warrants a little more time spent on what real health is about. If you're that way, this is the show for you. If you've been running around symptomatically, if you've been running around with health concerns for so many years and you've just done everything, you've been to lots of practitioners, holistic and otherwise, and you want deeper explanations, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Do it now. Don't wait. It's so much easier if you do it now. We're talking about elasticity of the liver. We're talking about ways like this scan to determine what the degree of fibrosis is long before you even have to think about it. So that when you're 60, your liver's biologically like when you were 20. That's where real health lives. Yeah, you've got to clean the bile ducts, but you also have to optimize flow through the organ system. Now, the Chinese understood this. Picture 17. There's a sect, there's an aspect in Chinese medicine called five-phase Chinese medical theory. And it says that the liver is controlled by the tendons. It says the liver is controlled by your emotions, that anger damages the liver. Well, yes, it does. It vasoconstricts those tubes running through it. The blood flow of the liver is subject to the elasticity of the tendons. The elasticity of the liver can be measured via the elasticity of the tendons. If you're looking to bring the liver out of fibrosis and into a healthier level so it can regrow itself with greater speed, you have to get flexible. The liver and the tendons are one organ to the Chinese. See, these things were understood empirically. And it's only now, if you study the science, that you can see that the empiric wisdom of what we call holistic health, holistic medicine, is now being verified all over the place by finer testing, finer, deeper levels of analysis in Western medicine. We don't have to infer it. Western medicine is proving Eastern medicine. You know, that's what Candace Pert was talking about. This is not new. But what concerns me that's far too prevalent is that all we're really doing now is studying nutrition and using science to document how much such and such an herb or a supplement can help you. And that's good. But you have to have more comprehensive, more textured perspectives to really get healthy. You have to. You just can't depend on what herbs do I take for my damaged liver. So the Chinese understood this. They understood that the liver was anger and that you had to stretch into those tight, sinewy tendons of yours if you were going to affect the elasticity of that organ. That's absolutely huge. That's not a little thing. That's a big thing. Regenerating the liver. So those tissues, those cells, have a rate of repair. Now here's a concept that can flip you out. Can really flip you out. The rate at which you repair your liver. If you're 60 and you want a 40-year-old liver instead of a 70-year-old liver and you're 60, you have to prune the roses. You have to prune the roses. So what do I mean? I mean, it's September. It's getting colder. The oceans are a little colder. I was just in the other day. It's been about a 10 degree drop in the last 2 weeks. And as it gets colder and colder, there's a point at which you're going to prune your roses. You know what you're going to do? You're going to torture those babies. You're going to cut their limbs. Those sweet, thorny, flagrant, wonderful, precocious plants. You're going to go out there and you're going to start cutting them down. You're going to give it a crew cut. Believe me, when you take those rose shears and you slice through those branches, that stings. That's an inflammatory process. You're tearing tissue. You tear down the tissue of your roses once a year, so what? So it will stimulate a thicker, stronger stem the following spring. In the winter, we prune. We induce inflammation. To regenerate the liver, you have to inflame it. Now, that's counterintuitive because all you know of inflammation is it's bad. All you know of free radicals is that they're bad. They're not. The body uses free radicals to signal apoptotic responses. The body kills its own cells to regenerate new tissue. Programmed cell death, apoptosis, is one of the central bulwarks. It's one of the central buoys, foundations through which the organ knows how to kill the cells it wants to get rid of because they're a little shoddy to regrow new ones. The liver, being that regenerative, has to know how to do this. So you have to irritate your liver. Do you know that's what those herbs do? All the herbs you take for your liver, from the turmeric to the milk thistle to the dandelion to the aloe to the buplorum to the glutathione. Once the central junction box up in the hypothalamus, once the master commander up in the brain, the hypothalamus, decides that a lot of those cells that make the liver stiff have to die so you can make fresh new ones, you're going to have massive die-off. You have to kill it to regrow it. You have to prune the roses to rebuild them. So you've got to inflame the tissue a little bit to rebuild it. You know what that's called? Detox. Detox. Most people think detox is a moment where you should think about going to ER. Most people think that when they're in purgative cleanses or when they're taking herbs and they don't feel well, most people, and this is understandable, will conclude it's time to stop, you're hurting yourself. You might even have liver enzymes go up as the liver is trying to regenerate its own tissue. Your holistic practitioners say you're detoxing. That's true, but it reflects a central core, very meritorious concept in medicine, and that is you have to inflame it to stimulate regeneration. Inflammation, regeneration. It's a healthy inflammation, though, in the sense that it's not being driven by abusive lifestyle. It's not being driven by oxidative stress from chemicals that we know have no positive function in the body. If you're thinking I'm talking about the type of inflammatory process that occurs from sucking fumes at the Long Beach port all day long, or painting your house for two straight weeks and breathing in paint fumes, I'm not talking about that type of oxidative stress or pro-inflammatory thing. What I'm talking about is to regenerate the liver, to get those 500 functions optimized by putting new cells into the organ, is to kill the old cells at a faster rate. Now, this is a balanced phenomenon under the control of your hypothalamic centers. Now, look at that. To have health is not to think about your symptom. To have health is to move blood through the liver. To have health is to open the bile ducts. To have health is to keep the tubes vasodilated by balancing the autonomics. To have health is to understand the ins and outs of inflaming the liver to rebuild the liver. That's where the science and holistic health meet. If that turns you on, you're getting it. 714-850-1007. If that turns you on, call that number. Come on in, sit down, and we'll talk about you like this so that you can embrace the inside track to radiant health. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.